The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We are in the second night of our three-night radio event talking to Jay Yapel about his house, the Enfield Demon House, located in Enfield, Connecticut. This house was built in 1771. If you had not had a chance to listen to last night's episode, definitely go to ghostboxradio.com and find it. We have all of our past episodes there. It is very much worth an opportunity to listen. Now, that being said, I do want to put forth a little bit of a warning for people. I have received a few correspondences today from people who listened last night and said that they got nightmares, and they said that things were a little weird. They're not saying it's directly linked to the episode that aired last night, but I do want to put forth a little bit of a warning, a thought, whatever you want to call it, for anybody listening. And this isn't meant to be like an Orson Welles War of the Worlds kind of fear-mongering. This is what we're trying to show these 3 days, is that this stuff is real. You don't have to believe if you don't want to, but those who do believe, protect yourself while even listening to the information that is being given the last these 3 days. In particular, you know, yesterday was pretty dark. I guarantee today is darker. Tomorrow might be even darker than that. So just keep that in mind. I know people love a good story of this sort of thing. Obviously, we're in the business of doing that if we're having guests like this on radio. But at the same time, it is important to take care of yourself and also protect yourself and just say that nothing can bother you. You're just listening. That's all you're doing. No one is allowed to get into you. No one's allowed to disrupt your life because of listening to this. I know for some of you that might sound a little too much. Do what you need to do, but I'm warning you that if you're not doing so, you never know when things happen. I mean, this is very serious stuff. In fact, when I came to the station today, stuff was really out of order in the way that I've never seen it before, including, once again, the smell of perfume. This is stuff that, you know, you should be very careful of. If you are somebody who enjoys listening to this sort of thing, just be careful, okay? So we're going to bring back on Jay Yapel, the owner of the Enfield Demon House in Enfield, Connecticut. Jay, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, Greg. I'm glad to be back on, and we had a little conversation last night, and after air, that kind of got us both a little bit. And
yeah, we did. We sure did, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Linda says that she had listened to your story, the first episode of our interview earlier today. She's like, "Be safe at all times." Couldn't agree more. And this is a great opportunity to remind everybody too. There's a lot that we're talking about today. If you have questions for Jay, put them in the chat. He's happy to answer them. I know that I think we had a lot of people watch and listen yesterday. We didn't have any questions, and I think that's because people just wanted to hear what you're going to say, what's going on in this house. And yes, we did have a very powerful conversation after the show, and I vowed to you, Jay, that because we're not going to get through everything on these three episodes, that we got to record all this to make it available, like a historic almost document, Jay, of what is being said here, so you have it and other people have it as well.
Yes.
So, with that being said, Jay, where do we want to start today? We had there was a lot of concepts that were very unfortunate listening to last night. One of the things that I think where we stopped was around the point of you had talked with Lorraine Warren. She did not want to come out to the house. We had talked about why that was the case, but I remember also that you, the previous 2016 interview that we did, you had mentioned before you got, I don't know if it was before or after you got the involvement of the folks involved with the Warrens, that you did have some other investigators come out that were more of the thrill-seeking kind, right? That they just, they only wanted to see the activity happening in the house, right?
That is correct. We had a couple come up. They didn't have any experience that and this type of thing. I don't think that many people ever had that kind of a experience. They came up and they were just like looking, you know, they had their basic equipment and, yep. You know, and they came up and they thought, well, it's going to be a long night. It's going to, you know, they're going to get their things or they're going to try. And within a matter of minutes, you know, they were like, oh my God, this is real. This is something that we can't handle. We don't know what to deal with. There's no way we can help these people. This is, you know, are we going to be affected by this? Is this going to be something, you know?
Yeah.
So when they left, some of them never came back. You know, some of them said, you know, we're going to try to see if we can get you some help or whatever. And that was the only thing that they could do because they didn't have anything behind them to fight something like this.
Now, I just wanted to quickly say, it's for people who are listening, Jay is rocking on his chair. It kind of sounds like you're kind of stepping on a baby weasel. So I just almost want to let you know that the creaking is coming through actually pretty predominantly.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, that's
my daughter warned me about that yesterday. I have it. Yeah, sorry.
No weasels were killed in the making of this radio show.
Yeah. No chipmunks.
So sorry, Jay. So these are people that some you never heard from again after they came through the first time.
Yes, and they had no idea. I mean, they were planning. I think I'm probably coming out, documenting things, sitting here, you know, listening to things and taking some photos and videos. But when they started watching stuff happen, you know, watching a giant banana plant slide 8 feet across the floor right in front of them and have stuff levitate, they were like, you know what, we're going to go back, we're going to discuss this, we'll get back to you, and that was it. And then we had another gentleman come up, and he was unique. I'm not going to mention any names, but... he was kind of like the opposite. He was more of a snake. He saw something that he thought maybe he could capitalize on.
Uh-oh.
And, yeah, and he thought, by trying to fake some stuff and trying to do things and bringing people in, he could capitalize on it. But what he didn't realize is that the entity, when you do something like this, the entity, like we were talking about, it can lure you in.
Yep.
You know, under false pretenses. And that's what it did to him. It brought him in, and then everything was like, oh, I'm going to do this and that. And then wham, it terrorized him. It scared him to the point where, you know, he got even into some trouble with the law afterwards, all kinds of things. And it was really weird. So
I wonder if I know who that is. Seekers, sorry, go ahead. I was wondering if I know who that is. Anyway, okay, yeah. Yeah, you gotta be careful. I mean, that's the sad thing about it. You gotta be careful of these people, unfortunately, right? And that's like an added dilemma to the fact that you are already facing some very dire situations in your own house.
And that's what made it so so hard, because when you're seeking for help from somebody, you know, that's listing as paranormal or something like that, you know, as a homeowner, you're going to them saying, hey, I need help. You know, like you would go to a plumber that said, hey, my drain's plugged, or a electrician that said, hey, my lights aren't working.
Yeah.
You're hoping they can help you and fix it. And when you go into a paranormal investigator, you're saying, hey, I have something in my house that's terrorizing me. You're hoping that they got, you know, backup where they can come in, identify it, work with you, go to the clergy if they have to, or go to the right people that they need to and get you help. And when you realized, you know what was here was unique, and it was chewing up paranormal teams. There was many teams that came in that ended up breaking apart afterwards. Some are a couple people are still affected to this day.
Yeah.
From being in the house, and it was a journey to get to where we are today.
So with that, let me know if I'm jumping ahead too much on you here, Jay, because we can always come back, or we can either also just go somewhere else with some of this stuff. But Linda had asked the question of, did anyone ever call in angels to help? And I thought maybe this might be a good opportunity to talk about when you wanted to bring in a priest to do a blessing or to try to help you in this situation.
Well, that's where we had originally brought in. I don't know if I touched base with it yesterday, because we covered a lot. The first priest we had called.
Stop.
Well, it's got recommended not to rock.
It's good you have people. It's good that you have a team to help you from not rocking in your chair.
All right, we will not rock the chair. Okay. So that's really hard not to. Okay. So, So what happened was I had called in a priest, and I figured, you know, at first I thought it might have been somebody who might have lived here and passed away. And I figured by bringing a priest, you know, that they could, you know, come in, bless the house and do what they do. And the spirit would be at peace and go away. Well, when I met the priest out in the driveway, I had said to him, I said, listen, my wife thinks there's something in the house. And he's like, what, like a squirrel or something like that? I said, no. I said, like an evil spirit, a ghost. And he said, there's no such thing as ghosts or demons. It's all Hollywood. He says, I'm going to prove it to you. So he came in and he met with Elka and he blessed our side of the house. And mm-hmm. He said, see, there's nothing there. And I said, Father, we got to go next door. So he came over here, and I had the whole house under construction. He's like, I love the smell of fresh construction, the wood and everything. So he went through the whole entire house and said, see? But I said, Father, there's one more space you didn't go, and that's in the attic. He goes, no problem. He opened up the attic door, and he took three steps up, and he froze. And he was looking at something. He could see it. You could see it in his face. And he wanted to take one more step, but whatever he saw scared him so bad. He backed down the stairs and he says, I'm going to bless the staircase. He threw holy water.
Wow.
Never turned his back on it. Slammed the door, locked it, ran down the stairs, ran all the way down, got 1 foot on the outside, 1 foot on the inside, looked at me. He said, ignore it. It will go away. And he took off. I never saw him again.
And he said that you're... Only in Hollywood movies does the stuff that you think is happening happens, right?
Yeah, that's the only, yeah. That I was just like, when I went next door, Elka's like, where's Father so-and-so, you know, because she was going to make him tea and talk, and he was gone. So
he took the hell off is what he did.
Yeah, he took off. He saw something that really rocked his world, and he never believed something like that could exist, so...
Wow.
As that happened, and that brought us closer to seeking, you know, people, because I wasn't going to give up. You know, I had babies in the house.
Yeah.
I had my wife. I had animals. People looking to me as the protector, and I have to find an answer. So I kept digging and digging, looking. And like I said, I found the team that worked, you know, that knew Lorraine and Ed Warren. You know, Ed at that time was already passed away.
Yeah.
And then when I seen them get... you know, almost wiped out and chewed up, I kept looking and looking, and I found a guy in Connecticut, and he dealt with the really serious cases. And so I called him up, and he says, I'm not really interested. He goes, I just got off a really bad case. And he says, but tell me what's going on. So I told him, it was almost 2 hours long. This is back then. And he said, well, I'm going to get you help. But he goes, before I can go to the over to the clergy, he goes, because he was always like, you know, he wanted to verify. He says, is there anybody out there who can verify your stories or anything? So he goes, give me all the names of the teams that were in your house. So I gave him names of everybody, and he says, all right, I'll get back to you. So about 2 weeks later, he called back, and he said, okay, he said, I got enough information to call in. He goes, I work with one priest, his name is Father Robert Bailey, and I'm talking with him, and I'm gonna get him in, and we're gonna see what we can do. So Bob showed up that night with Bailey, and they went through the whole house, did a total investigation. And at this point, Father Bailey, he took it like a regular investigation. He was having, you know, he was having fun too. You know, he was enjoying himself. And all of a sudden, it changed. He realized, you know what, this is not a joke. All of a sudden, he goes down after the break, and he's like, where's my rosary beads? And they're like, Father, you just had them. And he's like, these are very special to me. They're very old. He goes, I got to find them. He goes, it's a personal thing. So he stood in front of us, and he was checking his pockets. He looked everywhere. Everybody was running around the house. And he started walking over towards me and Elka to kind of, you know, console us, like, hey, it's going to be okay. You know, this, I probably lost them. All of a sudden, Greg, he stops. And he looks down, and his rosary beads were hanging out of his pocket. He could feel this entity take the rosary beads and slide them into his pocket. Could you imagine what kind of feeling that was? It's feeling something reach into your pocket. And then he went off and speaking a different language, whether it be Latin. And then he wasn't laughing anymore. And he left, and that was it. And I think he only came back once to film the Animal Planet show. But after that, we reached out to him and said, we need help.
So why don't we do this? Before we get even deeper into it, I'd like to go ahead and take a break and get our first break in. We're talking with Jay Yapel, who is the owner of the Enfield Demon House. We're talking about all the stuff that's happening to him, that has happened to him there. Put some questions into the chat room. We'll be talking more. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And just an update on that Masonic Lodge event. We are sold out of tickets for the Grand House for Friday night, but we still have tickets available for the Masonic Lodge Saturday night, September 23rd. So if you are able to take part, if you'd like to take part or just want to know more information, go to sharpvinity.com/event-list to get all the details. We've been talking with Jay Yapel, who's the owner of the Enfield Demon House in Enfield, Connecticut. And I'm sorry I had to cut you off there, Jay, but we had to take these breaks. So you were talking about you had Bob come in. You talking about the rosary that went back into the priest's pocket. What was going on from there?
Well, at that point, he took it very serious. He never had anybody never had anything actually physically touch him like that, and he never had anything touch something of a holy relic like that. The rosaries were an antique that was given to him by his family, and they were very beautiful, very old. So, I mean, that was like, you know, in my opinion, that's like, you know what? This entity knew where to get him, and by saying, oh, I got your rosaries, and he slid them into his pocket. And that was like kind of sending him a message.
Yeah.
So when that happened, like I said, they I went off in Latin or something like that. And he never came back until Bob had contacted the Animal Planet to do a show. Bob wanted us to do as many TV shows, he said, as possible, because he said there's someone out there who's going to see one of these shows and they're going to be able to help us, because Bob was also fighting the fight in. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't just fighting the fight here. He was fighting a fight at his house. I mean, he had a young granddaughter, and his house is brand new, and now he's having things happen at his house. So now he's just like, Jay, he goes, I don't know what's going on. He goes, I don't know if it's coming over from your house to my house, but he goes, we really got to find a way to defeat this. So they did the Animal Planet, and Father Bailey was in there, and they actually had Animal Planet actually to, because it was kind of an intense show, actually say that at the end that they were able to defeat it, and they got, you know, that they got rid of it.
Sure.
And they never did.
So they lied.
They knew that this thing has a way of retreating and coming back. So after that had happened, a couple of years had went by, and Bob is doing everything he can. You know, he's taking a toll on him too. He, mm-hmm. he was scratched, he was bitten, he was pushed. You name it, it happened to Bob, and he was getting worn down. You know, you could see it, but Bob wasn't going to get out of the fight. You know, he's like, he was more upset. He used to call these things little creatures, and they would have tantrums. That's what he would say. So he says, well, I have one more heavy hitter. And he says, that's Bishop Robert. That's Bishop Robert McKenna. He says he's one step away from being a saint. And he goes, if he performs one more miracle, the Catholic Church is going to make him into a saint, that they have witnessed two miracles performed by him. So he said he's semi-retired, but he's going to reach out to him. Mm-hmm. So he reached out to the bishop. And when the bishop heard there was children, very small children involved, he agreed to come out. So Bob had said, you know what, make sure, you know, he this is what he likes for sandwich meat. This is what he likes to have for fun, you know, and all this stuff. And he says, get me ready. You know, the bishop's going to come over on Tuesday. So we all took the day off from work. We're all waiting. And Bob called up and he says, hey, he says, I'm 15 minutes away from the bishop's residence. And he says, you know, I hope you understand what I'm doing for you, because I have to ride all the way to your house listening to the bishop talking about God and Jesus and all the way back.
Yeah.
And I said, I appreciate it. And so about 10 minutes go by, he calls back and he says, you're not going to believe this. He goes, I only from your house. He says, the bishop's secretary just called me and said that the bishop wrote on a piece of paper that he got struck with a mouth infection and can't speak, and he won't be able to come up. And he said, in case if this did come from your house, he said, not to tell you when he's going to come up, to give you a time frame, and he's going to surprise you.
Makes sense.
And yep. And that's what he did. It took 3 months for him to get his strength back to come up. And all of a sudden Bob said, are you guys home? I said, yes, we are. 10 minutes later, and walks this little old man, really gentle, and said, hello, my name is Bishop Robert McKenna. And he goes, and who are you? And really nice guy, really nice guy to even pick his brains on things. And you could tell, he you know, there's some people who, you know, he walked the walk and he talked the talk.
Yeah.
You could tell he was true. So, he was up and he went through the house, and every once in a while he would stop and he would look behind him and he said, oh, I haven't started with you little buggers yet. I haven't even started. He goes, be patient. Meaning he was talking to the entities, and, you know, and he went through and the whole entire house, and he read the rites to the exorcism. He did everything he possibly could. So at the end he goes, do you need any holy water, Jay? I said, you want me to get you some? Holy water? Said, I need some. So I went downstairs. I came up with 4 gallons of Poland Spring water. And he says, that's a lot of holy water. I said, well, Father, I said, I'm in a battle. I need it.
Yeah.
So he made 4 gallons of holy water for me.
Nice.
And as he's doing that, he's blessing all of our crosses and medallions. And he has a little bottle of holy water about this size, a little bit smaller.
Sure.
And he's blessing things. And all of a sudden, we're all standing around the dining room table. And he goes down to pick up his holy water. It's gone. And he's like, where's my holy water? Everybody's looking for it. Now, everybody's panicking because now they're like, you just had it 2 seconds ago, Father. And they're looking everywhere. So Bob was a fearless guy. He just started grabbing everything. He picked up flowers. He picked up books, whatever. And then he picked up the bishop's briefcase. And underneath the briefcase was lying flat his holy water. So this entity in front of everybody, I have no idea how it happened. It just materialized underneath his briefcase. So he got messed with not only once but twice. So
wow.
At that point, he remained calm, you know, and he went and he did his thing. And then he asked Elka for a bowl of water. And so Elka got him a little bowl of water. And he says, no, he goes, I asked for a bowl of water. And so Elka's like, what do you mean? So she gets a little bit bigger bowl of water. He goes, no. He goes, honey, he goes, when I ask you for a bowl of water, he goes, I want a bowl of water. So Elka said, I don't know, what do you want? So she came back with a giant soup bowl of water. He goes, now that's a bowl of water. And he goes, Bob, he goes, grab one of the children. And Bob grabs, Elka had no idea. So Bob grabs Courtney. And the bishop puts her over the table and rebaptizes her right there. Then he grabs Mackenzie. They were little. They put them over the table, rebaptized. And the bishop said, he goes, now I know that both of the little children are baptized the right way.
And you're fine with that?
Yeah. And okay. I was like, okay, you know. And I was like, and Uncle was in shock. And I was like, hey, I said, they just got baptized by a bishop. I said, by an exorcist. I said, that's pretty amazing. So we got through that. So Courtney was, Bob was kneeling down, and Courtney came up to him. You know, they were toddlers, and Courtney said, you know, is Spooky gone? And Bob said, yeah, Spooky's gone. And the bishop was right there. He grabbed Bob right by the ear and said, don't ever lie to the children. He says, lying to the children is like lying to little angels. He goes, we don't do that.
Yeah.
He said, we don't know. He said, we hope it's gone. He goes, that's our best thing we can hope. He goes, but they can come back. He goes, and if they come back, he goes, they can come back with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. And he goes, we don't want that.
No, no.
So they end up leaving, and the house felt calm for almost a week, and then the signs started coming back. It's like, I don't think as the girls call it, spooky, I don't think left. He probably went on a little mini vacation, you know.
Yeah.
And came back, and yeah, it came back stronger.
Of course it did. Now let me ask you something, because you're in the renter side, you said, right now that's,
yes,
where you are. Is that not the more active side, or is it the living's, your side that's more active?
They're both the same. The spirits go back and forth. They don't recognize it as a duplex. They recognize it as what it must have been like when they were alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we, like on this side where we use it, because now it's safe since that one entity's gone, but we use it for paranormal investigations. We rent it out for the night and stuff. And there was, I mean, a couple of times where paranormal investigators, they was very active over here, and they were having a good time, you know, communicating with it, that the spirits actually ran next door. They actually came next door, and they were next door with us. And we actually had a call. This one guy, his name was August. I said, hey, I said, what are you doing to the spirits? Because they came next door. And he's like, he goes, this is amazing. So I sat down and, you know, was watching TV, and I said, you guys got to go back next door. I said, go play with August some more. I said, you guys can't be on our side,
yeah,
you know, kind of just like that. And they, you know, kind of calmed down, but it gets pretty active on both sides.
So we have about 5 minutes before we go to our next break. Can we talk a little bit about Reverend Neil Farley, please, and his part in all of this?
Sure can. After like I said, after Bob told us to do some more shows, he got us in contact with the Discovery, A Haunting. And that's when someone calls up and said, she says, I have two people that can help out. And I'll mention a second one later on. And one was Reverend Farley. And he came up, they both came up. They didn't charge one dime. They spent two nights here.
Nor should they.
And they fought the fight. And, you know, and the first night they really thought they had it. I mean, Reverend Farley even said he asked to place the hand of God upon the house, everything. He did everything he did. And he was dumbfounded why the next day there were still black shadows walking across the room.
Yeah.
So they went out and they paid out of their own pocket for another night at the hotel, and they fought the fight another time. And then finally they got it. They actually got it. And the house felt like it was cleansing itself for almost 2 weeks. It felt like it was washing itself, and the air got lighter. People got happier.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were playing more. We were able to go in areas where we could never go before, and it felt great.
How do you feel about talking about this stuff when, you know, it has to always be in the back of your mind, is it gone?
It can get nerve-wracking because, you know, like we, like on the renter side here, we use it for paranormal, to rent out and to give ghost tours.
Yeah. But
that is always in my mind, Greg, is if what happens if this entity, I mean, it's been gone since 2016. What happens if it does, let's say wherever it is, you know, and it maybe it's trapped and maybe got sent to hell, or maybe got sent to another dimension, or maybe it was a space travel. We don't know what it was. You know, you can't call it a demon. You can't call it, you know, an ET. Nobody knew what it was because it was that powerful where it could take unburnt sage and throw it all over your bed the next day. It could manipulate holy water. It had no fear, ripped Bibles to shreds. So it had no fear of God. It had no fear of any even pagan religions or nothing. So it was like something from some other world that was like, this is all hocus pocus to me. Go ahead and bring on the best you got.
Wow.
So it's always in the back of my mind is if one day, all of a sudden you watch, like say, a plant move, or you watch something levitate, and you hear this thing challenge you again. You know, when that happens, it's like, I tell a lot of people who come over here, I said, if that happens, I said, we're closing everything down.
Yeah.
We're shutting down everything, and we're going to have to go back into battle zone mode. You know, basically blessing every day, getting priests in here, you know, all the time, constant battle. You know, we went through, like you were saying, we went through Indian shamans. We went through everything, even a high priest that I had brought in from Springfield. I brought in many priests, bishops, some of the best in the day to fight. And to see some of them get wiped out, it was truly amazing to see what happened.
Absolutely. So I want to do this because there are a couple things that I want to talk about when we come back from break. One of them is how Jay challenged this entity, I mean, so to speak, challenge. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he gets an audible reply back. I also want to talk about what happened to his wife who was on bed rest in the house, too. There's a lot to talk about. A couple questions in the chat. We're just getting started, folks. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And tomorrow we continue this conversation about the House from a different perspective. We will let Jay talk about that a little bit later here, but we are continuing our conversation with Jay Yapel, the owner of the Enfield Demon House in Enfield, Connecticut. Before we get to stuff, and I want to ask you if we could keep it a little bit brief, though, in the sense I want to get to a couple other things before we wrap up. We have about 14 minutes left. Adam had asked the question, Jay, when we're talking about the houses, and I had this thought myself, when we're talking about the intent and talking about what's going on and you're afraid of stuff coming back, have you ever thought that you're sure that the groups that are coming in are not trying to conjure something that they shouldn't? Because I know of a lot of locations that when left to their own devices, certain paranormal teams and stuff are actually doing more harm than good.
That is a great question, Greg. And the early, when we started doing this, we had a friend of ours that we became friends with. We had his company actually led investigations, and they had one of their team members here for the events to make sure that wouldn't happen.
Yeah. That's good.
But in a way, I pulled back to do the scheduling ourselves, because in the short time I've known him, something changed and he didn't see it. And, I wanted him, I don't know, he was different. So we decided, you know what, we said, we're going to pull back, go on our own again, you know, kind of for his safety, because he was doing too many different locations. So what we do have, we have cameras set up in public places in the house. And we watch. So if we ever see somebody, like, for example, we had someone last week, I just said, hey, look at no saging, no Ouija boards, none of that, you know, come in, make contact, things like that, you know. And if we ever see something like that going on where somebody brings out a spirit board, a pendulum, you know, we're just going to come over and we're going to say, you know what, you know, to be kind and say, you're done, pack up, you got to leave, you broke the rules.
Yeah.
Because we tell them no divination devices, because they don't understand how serious this is, even though they say, oh yeah, we know, you have no idea, because if you do make contact with this one entity and it decides to come back, well, it may not just come back here, it may go back with that person. So we try to, you know, if they come in, you know, with K2 meters or spirit boxes and things like that, you know, that's okay. You know, we never had anything come out like that. You know, we had spirits talk to them and things, but to try to summon something, that's where we kind of, we watch, you know.
Absolutely.
From afar, yeah.
So to kind of move things along here a little bit, because there's a lot that I want to kind of get to before we wrap up. Would you be able to talk to us a little bit about when whatever was in the house challenged you, where you audibly heard it?
Yes. Well, you bring back some memories, yes.
Sorry.
That was way, way back when my girls said they were babies. So,
yeah.
And we just happened to buy a brand new swing set. And Elka was so excited that it was like 9 o'clock at night. You know, the babies were in bed. We had the baby monitors. She ran out and got all my construction lights and lit up the backyard like Fenway Baseball Park. So I was building it. And all of a sudden, through baby monitor, you heard a slap. And then you heard a baby crying. And Elka's like, that's Mackenzie. I said, Elka, it could be anything. Baby monitors pick up different rooms. And then you heard another slap. And then you heard, and now you know your own daughter's voice.
Yeah.
And then you heard this really weird entity. And you heard blah, 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 some kind of really weird thing talking. So Elka took off running and I ran. I said, listen, I said, let me run in. I said, if something's in there, I said, I don't want to be like G.I. Joe and say I've been trained to handle this, but I figured, you know what, I've been in, trained for situations, I've been in, you know, life situations, things can go wrong if someone's in the house, you know? So I go in there and they're both asleep, and Elka, and I'm looking around like, I know it's coming from my house, and Elka was there, she woke up the babies, and all of a sudden I said, I just flipped out. I said, leave now. If you leave now, I said, God will have mercy upon your soul. I said, if you stay, God will take wrath upon you. And that's when this entity literally said, by whose authority do you have to make me leave? And it was loud as day. And that's when I was like, you know what? Be careful how you answer this. Yeah. And I said, you know what? I humbled myself. I said, I have no authority. I said, but Jesus Christ does. And you can take it up with him. And I just kept referring as Jesus has all the authority. And I will never forget when it challenged me, because they will challenge you to see how you're going to respond.
Yeah.
And by kicking it back out, you know, I knew it was there. And that was a test to see how I was going to respond. It was a test to see how we acted. And none of the babies were crying. And that was the weirdest spot, because you heard their voices, you heard everything.
It knew your breaking point. You know, you already had been through so much. Your kids, you're going to do anything for them. You're going to protect them any way that you can. It knew that it was going to get a reaction out of you with that.
It knows. It studies you. That's what they do.
Yeah.
They watch. They play games. They almost like, and I tell people, it's like a combination lock. You know, the first you try it, it doesn't open. You try it again, then you might get one or two until you finally open it. And this is what these entities can do. They got nothing, like I was taught by Bob and by other people, they have nothing but time. They've been here for centuries, for thousands of years. And they know, they watch, and they know what your weakness is, and they're going to go for it when they think they have a chance.
Yeah, time isn't the same for them as it is for us. Now, also, I really wanted to talk about your wife being on bed rest and what she saw while in bed.
Yes, that was, I had gotten a call when I came, and I was told to get home. Well, she was on bed rest. Finally, the doctors told her, hey, look, you got to stay home. And it was kind of funny because she worked for a doctor's office at the time as a nurse. And, you know, as a little strict little German girl, she wasn't gonna just, you know, come home and that's it. So one of the doctors, I'll briefly touch on this, brought her in the office, said, you know, he said, Elka, what is it gonna take for you to stay home? And she said, well, I still need this and this and this. And it was a Friday. He goes, write down before you go home, write down everything you need. So on that Monday morning, they came back with a doctor and his wife, went out shopping and bought everything for the twins, and said, now you're going to go home and you're going to be on bed rest. So while she's on bed rest, you know, it's hard to keep her in one spot, but she was laying in bed and she was reading, and all of a sudden she looked over and she saw this gigantic black dog. It must have came up the stairs and stood right in front of the bedroom staring at her, and and then it went down the hallway, and all she could do was stare and then pick up the phone and says, get home now.
You don't own a black dog, do you?
Never owned a big dog like that before, ever. We have a German Shepherd now. She's my service dog, but we never had anything that closely that big. This dog, the way she described it, must have been, and I'm not exaggerating, the way she described it, the height and everything, I would say about 180 to 200 pound dog. It had to be an extremely large dog. And
she didn't run out of the house like I would have.
Yeah, no, she couldn't. She was like stuck in bed, and she was like, I mean, if that was me, I probably, like a good husband, I probably would have left her there and out the door myself. Right? You know?
I mean, there's limits, right? There's truly
limits. You know? Women and children first, they say, right? You know?
I think the phrase is Jay and Greg first, everyone else afterwards is kind of the way I think that works.
Exactly. Yeah.
No one ever saw that dog again.
No one saw that dog again. I mean, I've seen other things in a house, but never that dog. It was like it came up and just stared at her, and then like it was on its own business. He looked at Elka like, who are you? I guess, what are you doing here? And then went down the hallway and disappeared. So was it a ghost dog? Was it a dog from hell? Was it from another realm?
That's no ghost dog. I'm sorry. That's no ghost dog at all.
No. When she described it and showed me the height, I was like, you know what? I didn't want to even look for it. When she told me how big it was, I'm like, why are you sending me looking for something this big? You know?
Right. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, she was so terrified. And when I came back, I said, Elka, there's nothing here. I can't find nothing. She says, Jay, a dog like that does not disappear.
And you've never seen anything like that in the neighborhood. So it's not like a dog would have just like somehow wandered into the house and went up the stairs and menacingly looked at your wife in bed.
Yeah. There's no way it would have to open doors. It would have to come through. And we would have noticed a dog like that in the neighborhood. It was like, imagine taking like a black German Shepherd, crossing it with a St. Bernard, and feeding it some steroids.
A whole lot of nope with that, Jay.
So,
and there is a lot more to talk about, but I want to get to what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen on tomorrow's show, Jay?
You know, Greg, I have a very special guest for you guys.
Fantastic.
I know you guys hear me talk. A lot of you are like, going, oh, my God, Jay never talks. But you hear my stories, but now I've been in contact for a while, and I'm bringing on Jay Dodd. You're going to hear his stories up personal as like a frontline exorcist. They call him the Ebola, where he has the ability to cast out. And you're going to hear his stories and what it was like to be right up in the battlegrounds here and to be able to fight this entity firsthand.
Fought it at your house.
At the house, yeah.
At the house. And
he always did it remotely. And this, just like Reverend Nair Farley, this was their first house. They decided to come up and fight it right in person. And you're going to hear, it wasn't a cakewalk for him. I mean, he took a beating. And he took a really, and you're hearing his own words tomorrow on how bad it really was.
And it's a good reminder, as we've been trying to say, and hopefully other people get it from just the two nights of with you on, and you're going to be on tomorrow night as well, all this stuff, you don't, as some people like to flex their muscles about this stuff and be like, oh, yeah, I can handle it. I can handle anything. When you're actually faced with something, people always say, oh, I think it's a demon. I think it's that. You know when it's a demon. And it's stuff like this that's happening to you, Jay, that happened to you. That's demonic. I mean, there's no two ways about that. And I'm pray that it is completely taken from your house. Honestly, bad. That's bad. Pammy Bear says the dog sounds like a big wolf. It sounds like a whole lot of nope to me is what that sounds like. Quite honestly, that dog. I could visualize it. Actually, I really can. And it looks like it's probably pretty muscular. It's barely trying to disguise itself as a dog. You know what I mean?
That's the way she described it. It was about 4 feet tall. It was like 6 feet long. It was like, you know, almost like describing a prehistoric thing. And I'm just looking at her. And in one sense, you know, here I am, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you want me to go look for this thing. I mean, you know, in my mind, I'm like going, Jay, you're done. If you find this animal, you're done. You know, there's nothing that you can do to defeat it. Because, I mean, when you think of, imagine the height, the length. Now, could you imagine what's going through your mind, the jaws, the teeth, you know, And she's like, you got to find it. And I looked the house up and down. I always thought there was maybe hidden caves or...
Yeah.
But it was nothing. Never saw it again.
It was nothing at all. Dawn says, I won't put it up, but she said she had a dream about a large dog with a collar and harness last night. Seemed not to bother me. Black dogs with medals. It's just odd that it just came up. What we're going to do, Jay, we're going to call it a night. Really appreciate you sharing your story with us. Everyone stay safe out there. Jay, thanks for joining me tonight.
You're welcome, Greg.
We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll definitely be back tomorrow, and I'll make sure I'll have my guests with me tomorrow.
Sounds great. Everybody, have a fantastic night. Thanks for joining me, and we'll see you tomorrow.